Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Final hour of the program on this Wednesday as we continue to move towards the weekend. Week 10 in the NFL, where big time matchup. The second primetime game of a group of three of them. It'll be Sunday Night Football versus the Detroit Lions. And the guys are already out there practicing in their red helmets.
Look pretty sweet.
They do look good.
I think you're going to be right on that one, Figgy. Those uniforms are going to be really good looking on the field.
They don't look as good in practice, though, because I feel like these are helmets absolutely need the full complement.
Yeah.
Right? Certain helmets are like, oh, man, that's cool on its own. Mm-hmm. Right? The H helmet. Yeah.
Just wait until they're in the bright lights.
Yeah.
It's nighttime game, and just it's going to look nice,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
So we have some news from practice, some that's really interesting. Obviously, the biggest one came out very early on, which is that Jarrett Patterson, inside offensive lineman, play center, mm-hmm. played guard, came in. He was the first man that came in for Kenyon Green when he was pulled for a very short period. He returned to practice. And so that has to be really good news in the possibility of him being able to return from his concussion and possibly being the guy that they turn to at left guard when you find your starting five.
Yeah, no, I think probably is going to be the guy at left guard. Maybe even impacted their decision to sort of stand pat, before the trade deadline, because they knew this a lot longer before anybody else, what his status would be. Etc. So no, that's big, but there is other news as well, as I'm sure you're going to point out.
Yeah. So let me just see if I can throw some of these things. We were talking about how Jimmy Ward has mm-hmm. been gone for a while. He's practicing.
Yeah.
On a Wednesday, which feels like that means unless some setback happens, mm-hmm. go ahead and knock on something wooden at this point. He should be able to play, you would assume.
Yeah, that's going to be a big get. We know he's been good enough when he stays on the field, but he just hadn't been on the field enough.
All right.
What, four games in a row, I think?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And, I mean, he doesn't go on IR, but it seems like you have, five, six guys that have already been returned from IR, and I think mm-hmm. you can only have eight over the course of an entire season. So that might have been why he didn't end up going on IR. If they didn't know that it was going to take this while, mm-hmm. it's just to save yourself some of those activations so you don't end up in a situation where somebody gets hurt and then you just kind of have to let them be out there
mm-hmm.
for a while without the spot. Some other guys that are not practicing, and this is where it kind of gets tough. Nico Collins, not among the receiver group. So that maybe does not help us moving towards this Lions game. That mm-hmm. probably doesn't help in the possibility of seeing the guy who is one of our definitive guys that would be the first half offensive player of this.
I think that's, look, it's always been huge since the moment that he got hurt, but even more so, against the Lions team at home, that and your offense has been struggling to find, the guy. Shout out to Tank Dell for showing us a couple things. But, crucial to keep him out there.
Especially because, one of the things that I've thought a lot about over the last week or so is just you know, the quick game that mm-hmm. should be there when you're talking about helping an offensive line that you know is not playing that well. It's getting the ball out quickly. Well, one of the things that you see is like slants and those types of things, but it feels like nobody else on this team is really capable of using their body to protect the football on those slants in a major way. Nico Collins can. Getting that ball out to Nico quick, or even just giving him a flat-out screen mm-hmm. because of the speed that he has with the addition of the size and fluidity. It just he is a cheat code in mm-hmm. some ways, and I think that he would help a lot. He goes a long way in helping you fix some of these issues or cover up some of the issues that come up with this offense.
Yeah, and maybe it's just Wednesday, but still, would have liked to have seen him out here.
Azeez Al-Shaair also did not practice. Well, actually, let me make sure I get that right.
I think he's back at practice.
Sorry. Yes, he is back at practice. That was the thing. And that is huge. Henry Toto has been very good this season. He's been one of the surprises. And you add Devin White. Those things are all great. The dude has been described as the heart and soul of this defense. Mm-hmm. Like, Azeez does a great job of getting people in the right place. In addition to the fact that it felt like he was all over the field and always, always making the right decision. I can't remember a time where it was just like, oh, he felt like he made the wrong decision there. Him being back on the field against a team like the Lions, who also, like, they're very physical. Like, this offensive line is
That's where I was
going to
go.
And I feel like that's going to matter because this is a pretty light defense. Like, this is a little bit more of a finesse defense. Mm-hmm. Having somebody that has the level of physicality that Azeez does would be helpful, too.
Look, that's exactly where I was going to go. You got two guys that are just going to, and the offensive line is so good. And to be short, anyone, even a depth linebacker, much less a starter like that, is going to be huge against the line. They're going to come in here and just try to ram it down your throat. You know, Dan Campbell was talking to the assembled media up there in Detroit yesterday about, you know, how aggressive and tough and attacking the Texans defense is. He was really giving the Texans defense a lot of credit. Shout out to Tyler Milner. Much ado about Tyler Milner
much to do.
No, tweeting that. They're going to feast on that. That's what they want to do. They want to just attack that defense.
No Damian Pierce, no Will Anderson.
No Will Anderson is a concern. It's a concern. You got the long weekend. He did come back, right? He did come back for a second.
A few instances. One of the things is you could see him on the sideline really working to get back in the game. It was one of those things that made you hope that possibly it wasn't as bad.
Mm-hmm.
This is a little scary, right? Because you see a difference in this defense when he's not playing. It's still a good defense, but the defensive line is literally the best unit that you have on this field, and it's going to be super important against this Lions team where, as again, we mentioned, strong front, great offensive line. They like running the football, and then also the one thing that can get to Jared Goff is pressure. When you get pressure, you can make him downright pedestrian.
Yeah.
Will Anderson Jr. goes a long way in that.
Well, because of what he does for everybody else and Danielle Hunter and all that. But the combination of what their game plan is going to be, because it's no secret, run the ball like crazy, right down your throat, and then Jared Goff hits wide open receivers, either on play action or whatever. The combination of not having Will Anderson and Al-Shaair, potentially, That you're up against it, against an already good team, that's going to be favored against you. I think they're favored by 5.
Yeah, that was where you were. So those are the things coming out of practice mm-hmm. today at NRG Stadium, in addition to the idea of a blimp flying over practice.
There is a blimp over there.
Not anymore. At least I don't see it, but mm-hmm. it was during mm-hmm. practice, which was just an odd thing. for the people asking, when is Christian Harris coming back? We got a little something. Do I count this as something? Jonathan M. Alexander. And I always say to M, because if somebody is willing to put the middle initial in there, I'm willing to say it. But in his mailbag today, he was asked about Christian Harris, and he actually gave a level of answer to this that I guess not a lot of people have. Mm-hmm. He's kind of put this as like week 14, and he's kind of positioned this in a way where it's always kind of going to be or was going to be a long long ride back for Christian Harris. But week 14, that open week for the Texans mm-hmm. is the week where he is kind of eyeballing for Christian Harris to return.
Yeah, week 14 is the Texans' bye week. So yes. He would actually return to play week 15.
But at least a return to practice.
Yeah, return to practice after, week 14.
Is this for Miami or after the Miami game? I think it's for the Miami game?
I think it's right before the Miami game. I have it right here. It is, in fact, right before the Miami game.
Okay.
Is the bye week. So he'd be back for Miami, Kansas City, Baltimore, Tennessee stretch run. This has been one of the more bizarre things about the Texans and their messaging and the injury reports and all that. And you would think they would tell us.
I didn't really understand the decision not to, because it feels like a lot of, maybe not a lot of, but some of the, I don't know, anger, you know, whatever the right word is. I don't know exactly what the right word is in this moment. Whatever that was. Ended up towards Christian Harris, which it shouldn't have, right? He's dealing with a calf injury and he's working through it, right? Like, mm-hmm. that's all he can do as a player is to work to get better. And it feels like there was a lot of animosity that went in that direction simply because there was no information. And so we assumed, okay, 4 weeks until he's eligible to return. When he's eligible to return, we go, all right, so what's happening with them?
When a team says 4 weeks, or it's reported 4 weeks.
Well, I don't even think it was reported. We just assumed because of the IR.
Well, then he came back. Yeah, it was assumed because of the IR. But even before that, you know, I can't get over, he came back to practice. He was on the practice field for half the practice or a little more. And then it just becomes, like, ambiguous and obscure. Who does that make look bad? Not the team.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe in a sense for their messaging, talking about.
And that's
but it does make the player look bad.
Yeah, the team should hold this, right? Yeah. It is the team's response. Because, again, we don't have any of these reactions if the team just tells us, hey, I don't know, setback. Or
that's all you had to do.
This is going
to
take a while. And, you know, he's going to be. But when he's ready, he'll be ready. It was just silence. And then almost like a defiant tone in
continuing that
science.
Instead of I'll let you know or however he put it. All you had to do was be very straightforward. He had a setback. He's week to week. And then everybody's okay. Maybe once in a while they'll ask you.
Especially because you've gotten great play out of Henry Toto. You've gotten, obviously, Azeez Al-Shaair has been fantastic. And then you've gotten even good play out of Neville Hewitt, Jake Hansen, even Devin White, who you bring in off the street and, you know, throw him in there. He gives you pretty solid play. Like, linebacker-wise, you've been able to manage this out all pretty well. It just feels like it shouldn't have felt like this.
Kind of has a Justin Verlander vibe.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, I can see that.
And then, because also, you're to the point where, okay, he's a really good player that we're talking about, you know, we were talking about postseason accolades and everything, but when he comes back and he has 4 weeks to end the year and then presumably a playoff game or more, what are you really going to be able to expect, you know?
Yeah, it kind of put me in mind of a Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
Now, I know Kyle Tucker don't have good games in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But it just seemed like we did not expect Christian Harris to be gone this long.
Yeah.
And it's like, dang, like, and Lopez threw this out a couple weeks ago. Did he have surgery?
It felt like it, and it's feeling like it more and more.
Just let us know. We weren't going to be mad. We just, you know, we just wanted to know. But yeah, those are some of the things that we picked up from practice with the Houston Texans today. Jared Patterson being there is probably like the most exciting for me. I know Azeez being back will be great. But the idea that you possibly have the opportunity to get your line back to a baseline of functional.
Yeah. And one more thing on this that I think is very, very important. DeMeco, let's see what he says, you know, about Will Anderson and Nico. After practice today, and you'll be able to hear that on the drive with B. Scott in for Clint and Ron, because we might get, you know, I mean, we might get some clarity even on Christian Harris. We might get some clarity for sure on.
You believe that?
No, I don't.
Okay. I was like, look, and I say that with all due respect, with all the respect that I can muster.
But certainly Will Anderson and Nico will maybe get some clarity, you know, day to day, being cautious, which would kind of be a little bit more inspiring, a little more encouraging. If they're just like, okay, it's Wednesday, you know, they're out there, but they're not practicing, and kind of taking it, you know, the cautionary, you know, route here.
Yeah, but that's what we got from practice today as your Texans gear up for Sunday Night Football versus the Lions. All right, coming up next, it's about that time where we will hand it off to our guy, Figgy Fig, for the mixtape. Fig, what you got?
Man, so I got the best TV shows of the 21st century, courtesy of Hollywood Reporter. Mm-hmm. Plus, I got a new trend going around about naming daughters after your dad's best friend.
What?
What?
Yeah. All right, I'm going to need some clarification. We'll do that next.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Wednesday. Happy Wednesday to everyone out there. Hopefully, hopefully you come to Sports Radio 610 to kind of get away from everything and talk some sports and have some fun and all that good stuff. I'm glad to be providing that for everyone out there. And speaking of that, I ran across this list from Hollywood Reporter. So they released a top 50 list of the best TV shows of the 21st century. And I'm using 21st century loosely because they put a couple of stuff in there that was clearly in the 90s. And I want us to go over this list, and I want to see what our field goal percentage is.
Okay, what's our hit rate?
Yeah, what's our what our shooting percentage is?
So like how many of these?
How many
and
shows?
And we were dug in on them.
How many shows we actually watched?
Not we. Came across them or heard about
them. How many shows?
All right, I'll count.
How many shows did you give a good shot to? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to start at the bottom. Number 20, Peep Show.
No idea.
Have you heard of that?
Heard of it, but no.
Peep Show, you never watched it?
Nope.
Okay. Rectify, is that Rectify?
That is what the word is, but I actually haven't heard of that show, to be completely honest.
Yeah. Friday Night Lights.
Okay. Heard of it. Funny enough, never watched it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. I'm the jerk who, particularly on Friday Night Lights, I'm Book is Better Guy.
Put a pin in that.
I'm Book is Better
put
Guy.
Put a pin in
I'm
that.
I'm sorry.
We'll get back to that.
Actually, I'm not sorry. Book is Better. Sorry.
All right. Hope and Catch Fire.
Halt and Catch Fire?
Heard of Halt and Catch Fire.
I have not.
Never gave it any time.
I'm 0 for 4 right now, man.
Same. We are all.
Breaking Bad. That's my first shot.
Okay.
I'm still 0 for
1
for
Bucket.
Yep, 1 for 5.
I have watched Breaking Bad like on the side, like when somebody else is watching it, but I am not actually.
Oh, really?
Dug into it? Never ran it.
Okay. Atlanta.
100%.
All the way through. Too.
Multiple times.
2 for 6.
Nope.
Enlighten.
Don't even know what that is.
I don't either.
Yeah.
ESPN's 30 for 30. I'm sure everybody's seen that.
How
30
does that
for
30. Count as a show?
I don't know.
It's that's a top show. Of the
that's
20th.
A documentary series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But count it. I'll
The Americans. I think John Lopez is the only person.
Such a great show.
On this floor. So
I watch
in
every
this
episode.
Building.
I watch every episode.
I've heard great things about it.
It's a great show.
What about The Daily Show?
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, you're like, yeah.
I don't think I ever tapped into it.
That's fair.
I seen it on, but I never like tapped into it.
Yeah.
BoJack Horseman.
100%. I love the hell out of that show.
Pardon me?
Oh, you're not familiar.
I'm like, who?
Did you know that one, Figgy?
No, I didn't.
What's BoJack Horseman? Like, just real quick.
It's an animated show about a...
I'm out.
It's an animated show, but I mean, it's an adult show. It's about... Like, it's in this kind of pseudo world where animals basically operate like
okay.
as well and live like...
And you were in.
100%.
Are you an anime guy?
Not really. I'd be lying if I said I was. There's a few that I love, like Cowboy Bebop, Samurai Champloo, but I haven't.
You in there more than anybody.
Fair enough. Touche.
Freaks and Geeks.
Great show.
I've seen it, but I've never dug in.
It's only one season, if does anything.
Well, maybe it's worth it.
It's a great show.
What about Girls?
Never heard of it.
Have not watched it. I did not watch
these are the top 20 shows. Yeah,
this is their
21st
this
century.
Is their top 20.
Well, a lot of the ones that I know, I'm like, yeah, I've heard great things about them.
And Big Bang Theory isn't on it.
Why would that be the case? you take the laugh track off of Big Bang Theory, you'll be sitting there sad, bro.
Freaking awesome. Awesome show.
That show stinks.
Seen every
to
show.
To high heavens.
Put a pin in that, too.
Right. Better Call Saul.
Yes, of course.
I never seen that.
I'm not counting it on my list just because
once I finish Breaking Bad, I didn't want to see the spinoff to that.
Yeah.
Was it Reservation Dog?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds that one is one I've heard great things about. That's the one on this list that I've lied to myself about. You know how you're like, oh, I'm definitely gonna watch that, but you know you're lying in
you're
that.
You're probably
moment.
Not gonna watch it,
but I really do want to watch it.
The Wire,
of course,
greatest show in the history of American television. Yeah, I stand on that.
I love that show. So many quotes from that show.
I stand on that. Ten toes down.
On what? Quicksand?
Oh, man.
Wow. The Wire.
You don't like The Wire?
I watched every episode. But greatest show of all time.
Greatest show in the history of American television.
It's a great show, man. How they tied in all of these seasons. Yeah. It's a good show. Mm-hmm. 30 Rock.
Great show.
Awesome.
Love it.
I never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I never watched it. Succession.
I'm ashamed to say I haven't seen it. My kids all saw it and said I would love it. And it's just kind of like what you're talking about, Reggie. I'm like, I've just never gotten around to it. Never, you know, set it on the agenda.
I watched it. I feel like, to me, honestly, I might be the hot take. This might be the hot take. I feel like it's a little bit overhyped, man.
Succession?
Yeah, I think so. I think it got its moments, but the way people was pumping it up, man.
It's rich people nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the thing.
It kind of get, and we talked to Sean Pendergast about it a little early. It is a little boring at times.
It started out slow, apparently.
Yeah, very, very slow. Yeah. And I think that first season, I really got dug in for the season finale. I think it was the second season before that season finale. That's when I was like, oh, okay. But, I think it's a little overhyped. Number two, The Sopranos.
Great show.
That might be the greatest show. It's on the list,
I haven't finished it off yet, so I'm probably like a couple of seasons towards the end.
Yeah, I watched the first season. I didn't go back to it. I need to go back to it, though. It is a good show. And the number one show, Mad Men.
I loved Mad Men. I would not call
it. I never
it
even best. Heard of it, man.
Well deserved. Definitely up there. I don't know if I'd put it number one.
Exactly.
But it's up there. It's great story, great finale. Like, the finale makes or breaks the standing of a series.
I feel like there's a lot of shows that it's hard to end something that people become really attached to.
I thought it
was a solid end, but there was people that weren't happy with it because, again, you're trying to please a lot of people that have come into the tent.
Yeah.
I think a lot of these, I realize that, the shooting percentage. Or
yeah, what's y'all field goals?
I'm 9 for 20.
Not all that great.
I'm 6 for 20, man.
Yeah.
I'm Jalen Green in 2022, man. It's looking ugly, man.
Eight for 20.
Breaking Bad was a long running series that I watched the whole time, but I never really, I mean, I was into it. I feel like obligated to watch it. Once I was in, I was in. Like,
yeah,
all
right. I hate that feeling.
Right?
I like, especially with TV shows, people get to this place, and the thing that I always compare it to books, right? Or I guess books is the other way. Like, people watch a TV show and they're like, nah, I don't want to watch it. I'm done. Don't leave it. People read a book and they're like, I got to finish it. I started. I'm like, no, you don't.
Yeah, you don't. Just close it.
And that's been my problem too, especially with like Succession, because I was pressured to watch that.
Yeah.
And
that's probably why you were just like, man, why did you make me do this?
I'm like on episode 8 and season 1 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, man, I'm not into it, man. Mm-hmm. And I felt pressured to watch that. I have a tough time just bailing out of a show.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I got to finish it.
I don't. Comment. Man, there's only so much time. And I think that's why, I mean, not entirely why, but that's some of why our lists aren't as, our hit rate isn't as high.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, especially when you do this thing where either you work in sports or you just love sports, there's always sports going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's something that you don't realize. I didn't really think about it until we hit COVID and so many things stopped. And I was like, oh, wow, I'm so used to sports always being there.
Yeah,
and I watch so much stuff. Do you know how caught up I got? On pop culture. And it's I'm surprised that I had 8 out of 20, to be completely honest, because it's just so hard to keep up with this stuff in addition.
Yeah. And I think the other thing too is like some of these shows, depending on how long it's been running, when you look at how many seasons it is, if it's like 6 seasons, then I'm already out. I'm like, man, I'm too far behind. It's too much
of
catching up.
Cramming,
man,
to do. Yeah.
Yeah, I ain't got. If it's like 1 season, 2 seasons, then I'm like, all right, this is perfect.
Yeah.
But if it's like 6, it's just like, nah.
The bingeability of the show.
Yeah
absolutely. Yeah. So it's a new trend going on, man, and this have to do with, I guess, people naming their daughters after their best friend's dad.
That's so
Have you guys heard of this?
No, not even in the slightest.
Yeah, so
that's weird.
Yeah, so this is the next big trend, pretty much. I guess people naming their daughters after their best friend's dad. So for an example, you got names, people naming their daughter Scotty or Tommy, Mickey, Billy. So that, I guess that's a new trend of, I guess, creative ways to name your daughter.
Tommy is a bit of a reach. I get that some of these, you know, Chris, you know, there's a lot of names that can go either way. Kim, you know, they can go male or female. Tommy, and I started to think, like, okay, let's say Leah was, I was named after.
Yeah, her, like, her, like, best friend.
One of her best friends named their daughter after
Johnny.
Me.
So it would be probably J-H-O-N-I-E, something.
Yeah, some
like
weird.
That.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, it wouldn't work with my name. My name is Edward.
So this is really a thing that people are naming after their best friend's dad's name?
Yeah,
their daughter.
Yeah, that's like the hot new trend.
Mm-hmm. Why are people, like, if anything, naming a person, a human being, is not something we need to be doing, like, TikTok trends on. Like, that human is going to have to deal with this. Like, that's one of the things I immediately think of whenever, oh, this child is named this. And I'm like, why do you not like this child?
Yeah.
They will be bullied. Kids are not good people.
It feel like you're supposed to name your kid. It's supposed to mean something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if it's after your Aunt Sally or something, like, or somebody a couple generations ago.
You don't have to mean nothing. I just feel like it's got to be something the kid can live with, right? Because, like, at least 18 years, they're not going to be able to do much about this, right?
Yeah.
They're going to have to deal with this. So at the very least, even if they're going to go ahead and change it or go buy something else a little bit later, for that time where they can't do nothing about it, help them out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Look, man, if I have a kid or a daughter, I'm not naming her after my best friend's dad.
Yeah.
Like, why would I do that?
That's a new one. I never even knew that existed.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was kind of interesting. Yeah. But
someone said Edward works. Go with, I guess they're going Edie here as opposed to Eddie.
Edie. Oh, okay.
Like Edie Falco.
Yeah.
Okay. In The Sopranos.
Speaking of The Sopranos,
what would you do with Reginald? So if
Regina goes all the time.
Regina,
but that's not naming him after.
That's
it would
a
have
different
to be some
name.
Some derivative of Reggie.
Well, I guess Reggie is also one that I look. As
can
someone,
you name a
someone
female who, Reggie, or do you know a female named Reggie?
Did you watch the show Rocket Power? Because the girl on that show was Reggie, and trust me, everybody's like, oh, you have a girl's name. I was like, that's not really.
No,
how
it's
that
the
works.
Other way around.
That's not really how that works.
I did remember a wide receiver named Ashley Lilly.
Man, let me tell you, you could tell immediately, a thought came to mind. My 7th grade football team, our running back was 6 foot tall in the 7th grade and fast. my mom used to say, let me not say that, not putting moms out there like that. However, that man was fast as all get out. And for some reason, I was playing linebacker. I remember trying to tackle that boy. That was a problem, right? His name was Ashley. And it was one of those things where you learn early. We're like, oh, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Like, don't make fun of nobody's name. You don't want those problems.
I knew a guy named Shirley.
Really?
Yep.
Mm.
What y'all call him?
Shirley Temple. Because we're mean kids. Because we're mean kids. I was wondering if you were going to ask, because the first thing I thought is old Shirley. We just call him Shirley Temple.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right, I'll get y'all out of here on this. What's a red flag to see when you go in somebody's house?
713.
Yeah, when you go in somebody's house, you could be looking around.
No, I'm with you.
Something they do, like, what's a red flag where you be like,
First thing I thought of was a smell, not a C, but you said C. If a house smells, I'm like, very judgmental.
I got a couple things.
Very judgmental.
I got a couple things on this list. I want to see how you feel about this. No hand soap in the bathroom.
Oh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great one.
Yep.
What about this? No cleaning supplies.
Well, you have to dig around if you're looking for cleaning supplies. Most people keep them put away.
True. Yeah.
What about this? No sheets on their bed, but they clearly slept on it.
Oh, deal breaker.
No sheets on the bed. They just raw mattress.
Because sometimes you can see where like their body left like a, not a stain, but like a mark of where they're,
713 says dirty toilet. 832 says a litter box. Just any litter box? Because my first thought.
That one on this list, it's a dirty litter box.
Okay.
They had cats.
If I see cats on the table, I get a little uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
This one hits home to me. When I see you have a pet, and that pet is clearly comfortable going to the bathroom all in your house.
Yeah, no.
It's like, that's the thing. It's just like, nah.
I mean, a training pad for a puppy is a different thing.
That's different. But when you got a grown-ass dog and you always clean, like, he just cool with going to the bathroom in the crib, man.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
I'm cool. Another one, cats walking around on the counter.
That was, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, I'm not eating here.
We used to have, just real quick, we used to have an aunt, another aunt.
Man, you and y'all's aunts in the family.
Me and my aunt that had like four cats. Mm. And she would always volunteer to make the cake for like an event, like Easter or whatever, Memorial Day. And we were always like, nah, man, we're good. We don't need any cat hair in our cake.
Thanksgiving at my house, y'all.
You know what we really need, auntie?
We need to get rid of some cats.
We need new, brand new packages of cups. I mean, I'm talking about they better not be open.
I'll make the cake. Really, we're picking it up.
Nah, we good.
We're good on the cake.
What about whenever somebody invites you over to their house? In their house, you could tell they did not prepare at all for people to come over. It's just dirty and like they just didn't give a damn. Because usually when you go over somebody's house,
it's the first thing you do, start cleaning.
Yeah, it's gonna be a time where I invite y'all over once we get settled in.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine it, everything was just all over the place. I didn't give a damn, but
my wife's head would explode.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a red flag.
I feel like my mom's head would explode. She don't even have to be there. She would just sense it.
Yeah.
Like, you have people over and you ain't clean?
Yeah.
That's a couple things I got, man.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's Figgy's Mixtape. You catch it at 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here on Sports Radio 610. All right. Coming up next, we about get ready to hand off to the fellas of the drive today. It'll be Ron and B. Scott. But before we get there, do you believe Dana Brown when he says that, you know, they're top priority is bringing Alex Bregman back. We'll talk about that and more next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. You heard the big voice, man. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reginald Atitula hanging out with you on this Wednesday. Hope you've had a good one with us. We're getting ready to hand off to our fellas in the drive today. The configuration, Ron Hughley, Brandon Scott, along with T. Mill. They'll have a lot of fun, including also, they'll have D'Amico Ryans talking after practice, hopefully giving us a little bit of insight into possibly what's happening with Nico Collins, Will Anderson Jr. Neither of those guys were at practice today. We did get signings from Azeez Al-Shaair.
Yeah.
Jimmy Ward also practiced. So, and then, of course, Jarrett Patterson is probably the big one because he seems to be the leader in the clubhouse, at least in a lot of our imaginations, to possibly take over for Kenyon Green at that starting left guard spot and hopefully restore a level of basic stability to the offensive line. Like the very lowest of the bar.
Basic stability is probably the best way to put it. You know, we're not asking for the moon here. Just don't be a net negative on the majority of pass plays.
Yeah, so those are the things that we're looking at practice-wise.
That's the standard. Don't be a net negative on pass plays.
Well, I would sure hope it's not the standard, but it's at least what we're asking for, right?
Yeah.
And as I mentioned, D'Amico Ryans, I imagine you'll hear at least some updates on what he has for us on the drive with those fellas. But general manager meetings happening in San Antonio for MLB, and that means Dana Brown, general manager, your Houston Astros, is there conducting business, and business number one, number two, business item number three, including is all has to do with third baseman, free agent third baseman. Weird to say it, but it is true. Alex Bregman, who is out there, and they're doing a lot of negotiation
publicly.
Dana Brown and Scott Boras. Yes, actually, it has become public. Mm-hmm. And in talking to Dana Brown, Dana Brown seems to have a level of confidence that something will get done with Alex Bregman.
Our mindset right now is that he's not going elsewhere and that we want to sign him. So if he ends up going elsewhere, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But I'm going into this offseason with the thought process that we're going to get Bregman done. And hopefully, you know, we can do it. And as I said, you know, the conversations with Scott have been productive.
So...
Conversations have been productive, he says.
When I heard this, maybe a little gullible, maybe a little hopeful, I'm like, I think they're going to do this. I really do. And I had my doubts. If you listen to the show, you know I've been like, you know, I don't know if it's the right thing to do. It's the hopeful thing to do, but I don't know if it's the right thing to
do. Wait, you don't think it's the right thing to do to bring Bregman back?
Not necessarily, because of Tucker and Fromber. And I
feel like of all those three, it is the right thing to do. Like that's,
Tucker's younger. I know it's a harder position. It's an easier position to fill.
Correct.
And Adam Spillane was talking about that today. And
by the way, appreciation to Adam Spillane for joining us at 10:40.
Yeah, and that was a good point that he made. All I'm saying is he's older. You know, there, you've got two guys there that you can maybe sign, you know, with Fromber and Tucker and all that. I was hopeful. I want him, but I was a little bit like, okay, I don't know if this is going to happen. I felt pretty good after I heard Dana Brown.
Yeah, I did too. And then I stopped and I was like, are you falling for the okie doke? And it's possible. Like, yeah. there have been instances in this, in the recent history with these Astros where they've said that we're going to do something or another, and that has not ultimately come to fruition. So, I guess if you've been hurt before, you have to then, you know, realize that and take stock of that and make sure that you operate, better before. That's the, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me, right? The thing that's happening there. But I do feel like, at the very least, what I got from that audio is that Dana Brown understands the gravity of what Alex Bregman is. And that's the thing that I think a lot of us have been thinking about and talking about, is that it's not just replacing a third baseman. I think it's also replacing the vessel that holds the spirit of what the Houston Astros have been.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is, we know what he is when it comes to being a leader in that clubhouse. We know what he is when it comes to being a mentor to guys on that team. Whether it's batters or whether it's hitters or pitchers, right? Mm-hmm. All of those things matter in addition to him being a Gold Glove winner for the first time in his career, which highlights how he also huge defensively in what you need. Plus, you don't really have any better options. And so for all those reasons, you need him back. And for all those reasons, Scott Boras over here looking like, ooh, it's time to eat.
Yeah, no, and that's exactly right. You know, as far as Bregman, you know, part of the other hesitation I had, actually two parts, is the Astros haven't ever done more than 6 years and $150 million. Certainly the first part, they've never done a contract more than 6 years. Bregman is going to get an offer of more than 6 years. It's almost a certainty from someone. So there would have to be a little bit of compromise on his end. And then still need a first baseman. We know the story. Still need an outfielder. Still have starting pitching to contend with. So that's why I was a little hesitant. But I'm with you. I was a little encouraged hearing Dana Brown, but then I read some stuff that Scott Boras was asked by Chandler Rome.
Yeah,
and I'm like, okay, yeah, he is going to give the Astros a certain benefit of the doubt, but he's gonna know what Bregman's value is. Oh, you know,
ain't no hometown discount.
He ain't gonna do none of that.
Even if there is a quote unquote hometown discount, it's not going to be gargantuan, right? Like it would be neglect for an agent to give a giant hometown discount when you have a player of this caliber, as we've described, who also has a whole bunch of suitors that are willing to come for him. Like, it just, and you know, as Scott Boras will let you know, he's also versatile, right? He does those things defensively. Yeah. He can play second base, right? All a leader guy. All of these things pop up. Here's the thing that I've come to when it comes to making sure to get it done. First of all, wealthy thrift does not move me. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's
a good way to put it.
Wealthy thrift does not move me. Like, that is, I am not moved by such things. But in addition to that, if you do not bring Bregman back, where are you in the freight, in like the arc of this team? Because it really does feel like, even though you would have big money guys on the roster, it really would feel like, hey, you need a few years to get yourself back in a place where maybe, which closes the window, right? Like, let me not dance around. You close the window, you would have to reopen it in some ways. I think that you bring Bregman back and maybe you would still look up and go, okay, there's still some massaging that's necessary to get yourself to where you can like contend.
But you still got him.
You would have him for the extended, for the period of time that you would. And I feel like it'd be easier for you to bounce back to a place where you could really contend at a high level. And understand, the AL West does not look like it's going to be, you know, incredibly difficult. Like the Texas Rangers probably, you know, they'll be fine, maybe. Like, I don't know that they'll be
Mariners.
Great. Mariners are the team that constantly are like, ooh, they're contending. But then also, they're also constantly the team that's falling apart. So I don't know how much I can bet on them.
Can't hit. They're in the market for Bregman.
Yeah, that
reportedly.
Is true. That is true. And how much would it suck to not only lose him, but then to lose him to a team that you're contending
with? Or the Yankees, who have expressed some interest reportedly. The Mets, the Blue Jays, and the Mariners are the top four that I've seen. But to your point, like, I think that's the biggest reason of all. No, I think, well, the biggest reason is Jose Altuve said, guys, get it done. He said it publicly multiple times.
Yeah.
And when Altuve says something like that, you got to pay attention. I don't care who you are. But I think the other part of it is what you said. Like, we've got to keep this winning window, you know, pried open for as long as we can. And if we let him walk, it's going to be hard to keep it pride open.
Now, I understand, as much as I say wealthy thrift doesn't move me, I also understand the real of this, and this was a team that carried the highest payroll in franchise history last season. I do understand the factors that play when it comes to an owner and when the things that a general manager is going to have to be held to. I think it's going to take a little creativity on the back end of it, but it's creativity that then becomes worth it because, again, you keep a guy that not only factors in offensively, not consistently offensively, right? Like a tentpole guy that, you know, every time he steps up, you're given a good chance of seeing a great play. Defensively, a guy that's absolutely necessary as a tentpole defender as well. And then also, you know, kind of culture, spirit of the team type of stuff. All those things then make it worthwhile to then have to consider, okay, Framber Valdez is a guy that in the postseason, you have concerns, has high value. Could you turn that into more things to help build, right? Because that's another part of this that we haven't talked a lot about. I know Chandler Roman wrote about this as well in The Athletic. In addition to giving him a contract that is workable for both the Astros and Scott Boras and Alec Bregman, you also need to sell him on the timeline of what you're doing here.
Yes.
And there would need to be some moves that also then keep this window open, not just nominally, not just with, hey, we have Bregman, we have Altuve, we have, you know, so on and so forth, but also you are then retooling and giving yourself an opportunity to bring in young talent or other talent that can help this thing go along.
Yeah.
And that's when you would have to be creative on the back end. But again, I feel like that is worth it than the alternative of having to try and find a new soul of the team and also a third baseman that you do not have in-house and really I don't think exists out of house. And then also address first base and also address the outfield.
See, that's
and
all, the thing.
You know what I mean? Those things still exist if you don't bring Bregman.
And Bregman knows it as well as anybody. I mean, you know, having lived it, he's going to get his if he stays with the Astros. But he also knows, like, they didn't do it with mirrors, but they were very fortunate that they were in the division they were in, that the Mariners crumbled, and that they, you know, they got into the playoffs despite having these shortcomings and despite the injuries, et cetera. So, yeah, you know, he needs to be a big part of the plan, but he can't be the only thing that you add, and he knows that.
I do believe Dana Brown here, and maybe to my own detriment, we will see if ends up being a full
zero. I was
there
with you. I was like, you know what? I think they're going to do it.
But I think I believe. And on the text line, somebody said, for sure got to sign Bauer. Trevor Bauer, I don't know. Like, especially – Trevor Bauer is one of those dudes, man, where his teammates seem to just not like him, right? I don't even want to talk about the other things, right, that are in the room. Why do your teammates seem to never like you, you know? And I don't understand what that is, but ultimately that's a question then you have about your clubhouse once more. It's like, are you bringing in a dude who's going to be divisive in some ways once you bring him in? Someone else mentions Jock Peterson as your DH. All right, that's all fine and good, but like, there's so many things that you need to address just on the day-to-day to get yourself to that place.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But I think if you do bring Bregman back, even though there are all these other questions that we've been talking about, boy, that gives your whole organization a kind of a jolt You know, like that, they really are not only keeping the window pried open, even if it's a lot more close to close than it was before, but I think it kind of gets people energized to understand that you are in it still. You at least you're trying to make the moves to be in it.
Yeah, and I don't. This Astros team has gotten real comfortable with being contenders. I don't know that as an organization you want to be back in that place where you're fighting for that. You're fighting just to be, you know, contention adjacent, and you have the possibility of falling out of there. Like I don't really think that this organization is ready to be in that place.
The crazy part, the scary part, is you stand a chance to be in the worst place of all. And that's have these big contracts, because Altuve's got his last contract here, well, we presume. Then you have Bregman, and you're kind of in that middle zone where it's like, what are we? Or we don't have the farm. Are we good? We need pitching, but we got these contracts. That's the worst place to be. So if you're in, you're in.
Yeah.
You know.
All right, and speaking of who was in is our fellas, the drive for today. You got B. Scott in for Clint, and you have, of course, the man, Ron Hughley. How you fellas doing?
Man, I'm feeling good. I can tell you this. I want Alex Bregman back right now because it's November and it's not May or June when he's going through one of those classic Alex Bregman early season slumps.
Yeah, sure.
So off the heels or on the heels of him getting his first gold glove and the season ended the way it did and he did end up having a good season, I want Alex Bregman back right now as we sit here. So, yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm hoping that they can figure that thing out. The fact that they haven't yet does not leave me encouraged.
All right, fellas. I know you guys have seen practice report things for the Texans, including them wearing them nice red helmets. Which of the news items that came off the practice report hit y'all the most?
Nico Collin.
Not being there.
Will Anderson for me.
I'm worried about that.
No.
I'm worried about that. Mm-hmm. I did say coming in here, though, I told Ron before we walked in the studio, like, man, it is some kind of place for the Texans to be in where you come in and you're looking at these practice reports and you see Jarrett Patterson practice.
And you're and like, it's yeah! Like, yeah.
I mean, we ready to throw parties. You ready to start.
Sir.
We could be out there barbecuing. It's nice outside.
Wait, I gotta go to the group text. Yes. I gotta let them know.
That tells you about where they are right now.
The backup center is there to play left guard. Woo, let's
no,
go.
No, Ron, look.
We don't know what position he's going to play yet.
No. Nico on, is by far the most important, especially against a defense like this. I just, sometimes you get a gut feeling, you know, and I'm like, something feels weird about the Will
Anderson. Get you some ginger ale for that, because I don't want that feeling over here at all.
Because the way he went down, it looked bad. And then he ended up getting back on the field for a player.
Just
two.
In and out, though, but I mean, mostly out in that fourth quarter.
Well, and even for me, though, like, Will's had the ankle before.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that it's going to linger or anything like that, but just the fact that I've seen it before. Yeah. And to your point, Lopez, it didn't look good when it happened. No, I don't feel good about that Will Anderson ankle at all.
Yeah.
Especially given the way he was playing, too. Like, this is AFC Defensive Player of the Month and all of that. Like, it's horrible timing.
And we'll talk about it. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and say they can afford life without Will. But if you say, who can they afford life without more right now? They can slide to Nico Autry out there
huge.
For a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That Nico fella.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially this week.
Especially like, now.
Everything that we've talked about all week long has felt heavier because you got the Lions waiting for you on Sunday Night Football. And so,
Super Bowl preview. Yeah. Remember when we were talking about that?
Yeah, but because of what Reggie just said, because the Lions are waiting for you, I don't have that they can afford to lose this guy. Like, I understand what Ron is saying. But the way they've been playing and who the Lions are right now, they don't have a such thing as, oh, we can afford to lose this or that. You ain't good enough right now.
Yeah.
Especially not against a team that likes dancing on people's graves. All right.
Yeah.
We're done here in the loop on this Wednesday. Appreciate you, Lopez, Figgy. And, of course, we mentioned Adam Spillane joining us earlier. It's about time to hand it off to these fellas.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service.
A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday Mega Deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.